All right, thank you. As you mentioned, we were looking here in this project at the ability for us to develop management zones for deep profile nitrogen sampling. And, if we look in Texas, there's been quite a bit of work done looking at profile nitrogen concentration and determining, how deep can we go and provide a credit to that crop without sacrificing any yield. And so I believe in corn, they have about 29 site years of data where they've been successful in 28 of those site years, crediting down to 2 feet without reduction in yield. There was a poster presented yesterday at this conference looking at the same thing for sorghum, and I think they had 17 or 19 site years where this concept was working. They've also done work in cotton and are starting to do some work in wheat. So one thing we think about is, we know the concept works. A lot of this work has been done in heavy clay soils, but there's a lot of spatial variability in nitrogen across the field. And, will this work at the field scale level? We know it's been proven at small plots. So we had a project going on in College Station. This is in the Brazos River bottom, where we were running the Veris machine across the field, looking at soil EC. And you see this map here. That's something that's typically generated by the commercial companies that perform this type of work. And they use their proprietary software to develop management zones. I think the process is somewhat arbitrary with some of these guys, but they develop management zones. So then what we were doing is looking at, what soil properties are related to the EC values we found, and will the management zones that were delineated this way, will they be useful, and could they be useful for managing residual nitrates and sampling for deep profile nitrogen across this field. So this is some of the initial work we had. We related EC values to clay content. That gave one of the strongest correlations of all the things that was measured. And you can see in this particular field, it's about a 37, 40 acre field. We had clay contents ranging from around 15% all the way up to 45%. So a lot of variability in soil texture here. EC values in this field were, I guess, less than 20 and all the way up to close to 80. So, but good correlation there. And you can see the map on the right that is showing roughly where the zones have been drawn out. And you can see where clay varies across the field. The light colored areas are the sandier areas. The dark colored areas are the heavier clay soils. So, I think this was doing a good job of splitting this field into zones with different soil textures. And this is just looking at the clay content by zone. So zone one, we're looking at about 25% clay, moving all the way up to zone three, where we're approaching 40% clay. So now that we know this, we looked at the first year when we were doing this data, we looked at cotton in that field. There was actually a phosphorus study there, but we did have uniform nitrogen applications there. But one thing we noticed looking at the soil data that first year was you look at soil nitrate nitrogen by zone and across depths. And you can see in the bars up front, that's that 0 to 6 inch depth, moving all the way down to a 4 foot depth in the back of that graph. And you see zones 1, 2, and 3 there, with zone 1 being the sandy zone, zone 3 being the heavier clay. And you can kind of see the pattern there. And it makes sense. It's logical what we see here. In the sandier zone, a lot of that nitrate has moved deeper in the profile, whereas in our heavier zones, a lot of that nitrogen is retained in the upper layer. So we could see that going on early on. And we looked at cotton yields the first year. And in zone 1, 2, and 3, we did have a significant difference in yield across all three zones. And generally, as clay content increased, our yields increased. And that's attributed to both increase in nutrients, because a lot of nutrients are kind of related to clay content, such as potassium, magnesium, but also soil moisture was very important. So our clay soil had a lot more moisture. It was a drier year, so water holding capacity was very important this year. So that's what happened the first year. Looked at soil properties, we looked at cotton yields, and from there we wanted to see, you know, can we use this information to manage residual nitrogen and credit nitrogen to deeper depths. So in 2014, we had some corn trials there, and we had plots there about 49 meters in length, four rows wide. This was 30-inch spacing. Each one of those lines represents a four-row plot, and they were kind of staggered out across the field to try to get some representation from each zone and try to keep them somewhat in line just for logistics of applying the fertilizer and getting things done across this field. We had grid sample points that, you know, we took, I think it was 4 to 6 cores and composited at each one of those sites near the plot area. And the treatments that we applied, there was a phosphorus treatment that's on the left-hand side. The right-hand side, there was 5 nitrogen treatments where we applied 0, 100, 175, 200, 225 kilograms of nitrogen per acre. So put the treatments in, and we looked at soil nitrate levels at the beginning of the season by zone here. Zone 1, we had about 30-something, 37 or so kilograms per hectare of residual nitrate down to a 0.6 meter depth, so a 2-foot depth. And we were looking at close to 60 kilograms per hectare of residual nitrate down to that 0.6 meter depth in zone 2 and 3. So that's in the background with these nitrogen treatments that were laid over the top. And this was our nitrogen response that we observed in this field. First, I want to point out that the red line is sort of where our yield goal would be for this field. And this is also split into the zones 1, 2, and 3. So this blue line here, this is zone 1. The green line is zone 2, and the brown line is zone 3. And we're looking at grain yield in kilograms per hectare. And you can see our fertilizer nitrogen rates there on the bottom. The first thing we know is, you know, with that yield goal, our yield goal, I guess, close to 10,000 kilograms per hectare, we would need 225 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen. And you look at that, you kind of see we were getting close to our yield goal in all three zones. But what we're going to pay attention to here is if we were to credit by zone, and then we look at the response curve for each one of these nitrogen rates. So in zone 1, we're crediting about 29 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen. And if we were to do that, you can see we really needed that maximum nitrogen rate in zone 1 to maximize our yield. So if we would have credited 29 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen, we likely would have given up some yield in that zone. That zone also being the sandier zone. On the other end, if we look at zone 3, the brown line here, that zone we could have credited close to 60 kilograms per hectare for crediting down to 2 feet. And you see pretty close, our optimum nitrogen rate was about 60 kilograms per hectare lower than what we would see at our typical, you know, yield-based nitrogen rate. So it looks like we would have been pretty good shape there if we would have credited all the way to 2 feet. In zone 2 now, that is a zone where we're not the heavy clay, not sandy soil, we're somewhere in between. But here you can see that our optimum rate was around 184 kilograms per hectare. So we couldn't quite credit that full 60 kilograms per hectare without giving up some yield. So I think that's important to note, that as our texture started to change and we went to lighter textured soils, we certainly could not credit the full amount. In 2015, we put in a cotton trial, very similar setup here. Again, these were a little bit smaller plots, but we had nitrogen rates that were side dressed at 0, 30, 60, 90, and 120 kilograms per hectare. And we did look at soil test values beginning of the season and looked at profile nitrogen here. Not really a lot of significant difference between the zones at the beginning of the season. Generally about 40 kilograms per hectare of residual nitrogen down to a 0.6 meter depth, or that 2 foot depth. So not a lot of difference in residual nitrogen across the zones. But then when we looked at the response curves, we see quite a bit of difference here across the zones again. The thing that stayed the same was in our sandy soil. This is again in the blue line, the zone one. We needed the full rate to maximize our yield. Our yield goal again was this red line. That's about 2 bales of cotton per acre. Our typical nitrogen rate for that would be about 90 to 100 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen. But you see here in zones two and three, our heavier soils in this field, we did not reach our yield goal. So this past year was very, very wet, a lot of excessive rainfall early in the year, and it really hurt cotton yields. In our sandy soil, where we had better drainage, we actually did quite well and we exceeded our yield goal. So the lesson here is again that we do see again that the sandier soil, we're not going to be able to credit the nitrogen if we want to maximize our yield, but results were a bit inconsistent in the heavier soils due to weather conditions. So we weren't even able to hit our yield goal. So just some conclusions. I think that, you know, the Veris sensor did a good job of identifying spatial variation in soil clay content. You know, there was a good relationship between the EC and clay, and that can be useful for delineating texture-based zones. I think this is one area where we need to pay a little more attention. So the, you know, the company's method of delineating these zones may not necessarily be the best way. We maybe need to look at the exact clay content and look at maybe some other agronomic reasons to put the divisions for these zones where we do. But it can certainly be a valuable tool for separating different levels of different types of soil texture in these fields. But can we use this to credit nitrogen? And, you know, crediting in the sandier soils could more than likely end up reducing our yield because we generally are going to need the full rate to maximize our yields. There was all the other issue that makes this difficult to evaluate year in and year out is our yield potential is always changing. So if we have a wet year versus a dry year, you know, our yield potential in some of these different soil textures can change quite a bit. So that creates some challenges. But I think one thing that we're starting to see with this data is that we need to develop sort of a sliding scale for our nitrogen crediting. So our heavier textured soils, we may be able to give a full credit to what we find down to a 2-foot depth, whereas we move down toward a sandier soil, we may get to the point where we're not able to credit hardly any of the nitrogen that we find in that profile. So that's about it. Happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Yes. So, I'm sorry if I missed your explanation of this, but it looked like some of the plots had more than one zone in there. How did you handle that?
Yeah, there were some that were kind of right on the fringe of moving into another zone. And what we did is that plot, whatever zone it was primarily in, we assigned it to that zone. And some of these things, when we lay them out in the field and get back out there and see where they ended up, they weren't maybe quite where we wanted them. But some of the zones, the little strips are so small it was hard to fit them in. But so we assigned them to the zone that they were primarily in. If it was mostly in zone one or two, that's the zone it was assigned to.
Very good. Thank you. So this is the end of our session today. I appreciate all of you attending, and if I had to say something as a concluding remark is I will direct my remarks especially to graduate students. There is a lot of work to be done in nitrogen. There is a lot of job security for all of us for many years to come. There is a lot of agreement, there is a lot of disagreement, and there are a lot of things that we still need to figure out. So with that, I would just remind all of you that we have our business meeting for the former S4S8 groups, and that will be in room 101 DE, and the Leo Walsh lecture will follow. Thank you.